Al Young is the author of three musical memoirs, in which he says he uses music as a way of remembering. Every chapter is titled with a song. Every song triggers a memory. Young played guitar and sang before he turned to writing, but he's remained a devoted jazz listener, and jazz figures into much of his writing. He's a poet, novelist, and screenwriter, although most of his screenplays have remained unproduced. His new novel, Seduction by Light, is set in Hollywood. It's the story of a black woman whose career has gone from getting cast as maids in movies to actually working as a maid in the home of a white producer. I asked Al Young why he wanted to write a novel in her voice.
I wanted to write in her voice because that's the voice that suggested itself to me when I sat to try to capture something of the feelings that I had gathered from working in Hollywood intermittently as a screenwriter, and recalling that it had always been the staff people, that is, the valets, the maids, the cooks, the governesses, the chauffeurs, who stuck with me when I was in the big executives' homes and in the big stars' homes. They seem like the real solid, grounded people of Hollywood, if anything in Hollywood can be said to be grounded.
When you're writing in a character's voice, you try to really get their voice.
Oh, yes.
The cadences of the way they speak, the idiosyncrasies of their speech. And I'd really like to know why you're so interested in capturing that in dialogue.
It's because I grew up in Mississippi listening to natural storytelling, and in an extended family and community in which dozens, if not hundreds, but certainly dozens of people were excellent storytellers. And this was actually my primary literary influence, just listening to these tales and listening to the musicality of the voices, the cadences, the dynamics, so that when I sit to write, I have to get a voice. Even if I'm writing in the third person, there has to be a voice that's convincing before I can go forth with the story. And this is very different from the kinds of things that are usually taught in creative writing classes.
Let me ask you to read something in the voice of the main character of your new novel, Seduction by Light.
I'd love to. This is Mamie Franklin in Chapter 8 describing something of her career. Now, I'm going to do an abrupt change here, so I hope the mic levels are set right. Now, don't go getting me wrong now. I never had anything against Steppin' Fetchit or Clarence Muse or Butterfly McQueen, or Willie Bess, or Mantan Moreland, or Hattie McDaniels, or any of those old movie performers. After all, a gig is a gig. Those were great comedic actors, and they played their stuff to the hilt. In some of those old Steppin' Fetchit pictures, you can almost see the brother wanking at you as he wipes his hand across his mouth and whines in that slow molasses voice of his. Well, boss, I's gwine to de big ribber boat up yonder in heaven. But I just didn't happen to be all wrapped up and gung-ho to play those kind of roles. Even when I did play maids, and that's mostly what I played, I had to strain to try to bring a little dignity to the role. I haven't spent all that much time figuring it out, but you must admit that there's irony, as my boy Benji might put it, to my starting off playing domestics and then ending up being one in real life.
Really like the way you read that. It's very interesting to compare your actual speaking style to the style you've created for the character. I guess I was wondering if the music of that kind of language has a particular appeal for you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. This was actually my original language. And whenever I get back down south, as I do sometimes 2 and 3 times a year now, if you were to be invisible and trail me around, you would find me lapsing back into something that probably falls in between those two ways of speaking. I think like a lot of Americans who were not raised in the mainstream of our national life, I'm multilingual, certainly bilingual, and feel totally comfortable in at least 2 or 3 different idioms.
Mm-hmm. You've commented that in the late 1960s and in part of the early 70s, you were told by some friends, and I think some people in the publishing world as well, that your writing wasn't militant enough. And mm-hmm. I think one publishing company sent you a note saying that your novel was a little too sweet for a ghetto novel.
Those were the words.
What was perceived as the problem?
The problem was that I didn't fit into the packaging scheme. And at that time, black anger and black rage was being packaged. And I was a little offbeat. I was not concerned with being angry or with raging, but with telling the truth as I saw it from my own experience in the world. And because I've been said to have a gentle touch in my writing, editors have a hard time with it. They wanted books that said, essentially, "Honky, I'm going to cut your throat!" You know, and everyone gets this little bit of titillation and a little bit of a thrill hearing this angry, oppressed person rage a bit, and it assuages a little bit of guilt, and money is exchanged, changes hands, and business is done. So I didn't fit in, and that's what they were telling me at that time.
Well, you created a kind of militant alter ego for yourself named O.O.
And during that same period, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. And he's named O.O. Gabuga, and if you see on the page, it looks like Ooga Booga.
Yes.
Describe how he got his name, how you gave him that name.
His name comes from Ooga Booga, which is a phrase that we've inherited from, among other sources, the old Tarzan movies. And the old Tarzan movies usually had these extras, these black so-called natives who were... It's not commonly known, but we're often jazz musicians. I talked recently with Red Callender in connection with a book that I'm doing on Charles Mingus that's coming out later this year. And he said, "Oh, yeah, we all used to sideline." He said sidelining was, you know, you pick up some extra money playing a native. And they would say things to Tarzan like, "Bawa, Ooga Booga." Now, Hugh Masekela, the trumpet player and singer from Johannesburg, who's lived in this country for many, many years, he told me about watching those old Tarzan movies as a kid in Johannesburg, and he thought that maybe on the continent of Africa there was a tribe that carried on like this. He just didn't happen to know about it. So when he got to America, he made an album that you might be familiar with, I'm sure you are, called The Americanization of Ooga Booga, and I listened to it, and I said, "That's it. We need something to lighten up this heavy, militant trend that's going on here." And there were humorous things about all of that black rage and the way it was being marketed. So I invented this character named O.O. Gabuga and invented a biography for him. And he wrote some poems that have become classics. In fact, in many circles, he's better known than I am. And I'm looking forward to the day when I put out a collection of his wit and wisdom called It's O.O.
Can you quote one of the lines you've written for him?
Yes, he has a poem called The Old O.O. Blues that starts out with the lines, like, "Right now it's the summertime and I'm so all alone. I got to blow some funky ram on my mental saxophone. Brother Train done did his thing and so have Wes Montgomery. Both heavyweights in the music ring. Now I'm gonna play my summary. It's lots of y'all that think y'all white. Ought I say European? Who think Mozart and Bach's all right, denying your black being. Well, hunky files, y'all's day done come. I mean, we gon' clean house and rid this earth of Oreo scum that put down fats for Faust." That's the O.O. Gabuga style.
I'm wondering if your parody of that character has to do more with their politics or with their style.
No, I think it has to do with the human propensity for laughter. When anything becomes too fraudulent and too...
self-righteous?
Cooked. Uh-huh. I think that humor affords an escape valve. In the same way that Cervantes wrote Don Quixote to run the novel of chivalry out of town, because that had gotten underfoot and it gotten to be corny, I was writing created O.O. Gabuga and writing his work to make fun not of genuine people who were fighting for civil rights or fighting for the thing that we black people have continued to fight for and will continue for a long time to fight for in this country, and that is equality. But there were a lot of people who were making a dollar off of it, both black and white, and I think that this had to be addressed in some way. And I thought that satire was the only way of doing it.